All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16. And while you're turning there, I'm going to mention what we talked about last night about using a credit card versus a debit card. I talked to Shirley Critcher, and she used to work at the Employees State Credit Union and worked there for years. And she explained something to me and confirmed some of what I had said, but she said a credit card or a debit card has the same fraud protection. I think you're liable for up to $50 or something like that. $50 is what she said. And but if you think somebody stole your card or using it, you do have to let them know. You know, you can't just... You're supposed to let them know. That's a stipulation. But I asked her about... Who said that somebody told them to always use it as a credit, not a debit?
I've been told that.
You've been told that? What she explained to me was, if you use a debit card, it works the same way, either way. The money comes out of your account. But if you use it as a debit, you have to use your PIN number. And they say that somebody could be watching you, you know, standing behind you, or she mentioned some other scenarios. But if you swipe it as a credit or get them to use it as a credit, then you have to sign it. And she said, so a lot of people, but it does not matter. It doesn't cost one way or the other. It doesn't matter what you do it. It works the same. But if you sign it, they say that might be a little safer. You know, that's what she said.
When you use a card, a debit or credit, they never ask for identification. Anybody can use it.
Oh, yeah.
They never ask it.
Yeah.
A lot of times, if you write ask for ID and black permanent marker, I mean, that will be some problems to make them ask for it.
Yeah. I write that on the back of my cards, but I rarely ever use one, but still, I think I've been asked one or two times. But I think this one I've got has my picture on it, so maybe. Yeah. But I had a vehicle worked on today, and I had been to the radio station and went to pick the Tahoe up, and on the radio I started what we've started here. I started on talking about money and credit cards and debit. And of course, Preacher Greg Tibbett, he's the one working down there at Good Guys. And so I walked in and I had the card. And he said, oh, you've been on the radio talking about credit cards. I said, well, number one, it's not a credit card, it's a debit card. And number two, it's not mine, it's Kim's. So I said, I didn't use either one. And I signed her name. Is that bad? But I had to sign it.
No more two but one.
Oh, well, that's the way I looked at it. She gave it to me. She knew she knew it. So anyway, but I have used her card at Lowe's, and nobody ever asked. I don't know. So anyway, I want to share that with you as we got started tonight. That's what I learned about it. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16 is what we're going to read. But last night, and I sort of went back and looked over my notes again, I would call what we looked at last night the four R's of money. Four R's of money. And does anybody remember what they are, what they were when we talked about just right at the very end? Receiving money. The rule of money. Do what? Didn't say it seven times. I'm going to tonight. We did receiving money, the rule of money, talk about giving, retention of money, we talk about saving, and reusing money. I just mentioned that. So that's what we looked at last night. That was just the very basic or introductory. That was a kindergarten version. And tonight I'm going to go back and look over the same things. And this is the advanced version. This is the first grade or second grade version. And so we're going to look at those same things in just a few minutes. But Proverbs chapter number 16, verse number 16. And I was reading this morning, and I thought it just went right along with what we're studying. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, exclamation point, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? So the Bible says that it's much better. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? And I think I've commented on that verse before. If you have gold and silver, but you don't have any wisdom, you won't have it long. But if you've got some wisdom, then when you do get some gold and silver, you'll be able to retain it. You'll be able to use it. You won't lose it as quickly as a foolish person. And we looked up last night about the foolish person spendeth it up. There's treasure in the house of the wise. But the foolish spendeth it up is what the Bible says. So it's better to have wisdom. Much better, the Bible says. And so that's something to think about as we start out tonight. But I wanted to look at some Bible words that have to do with money, words that we maybe are not very familiar with, and give just a few definitions. We talked the past two nights about the word surety. And Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 15. If you look over there, here's another verse about surety. The Bible has a lot to say about it. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. And he that hateth suretyship is sure. And when we're talking about surety, it means to make a guarantee for somebody. A legal liability assumed for another's debt. That's what it is. So talking about signing a note for somebody, co-signing for somebody. I was talking after church last night, and one of the men said that they had taken a class, Dave Ramsey, and he does all kinds of different classes, but he'd had a class on finances. And I said, talking about that, I said, would you co-sign a note for me? I'm trying to borrow some money. He said, no. And I said, good. I was checking him, testing him, because you're not supposed to. And the Bible says here that to do that, he shall smart for it. Now, that means, I think about it like this. If you go up and get into an electric fence, you ever done that? And you say, boy, that bit me. And that's how finances are sometimes. You can get into something and you get bit and you smart for it. And so the Bible says he shall smart for it in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 15. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. And so there's some things that it's all right to hate, and that's one of them. Not going to do that. And the brother I was talking to last night, he said, no, I wouldn't do it for you. He said, I wouldn't do it for my son. Go ahead, brother.
There's a word in there, surety to a stranger.
Yeah.
How would it be all right if, since we're not strangers?
Well, taking the other verses into account, I don't think it would be a wise thing. I think the Bible's teaching. Yeah, they might become a stranger.
There's some kind of saying that something about being friends and something about his deal bag, not borrowing.
Yeah.
Say friends and each pay their own
debt. Yeah.
Versus, oh, and the other one is what it was saying.
Creates envy. Yeah. Anybody else?
What's Brother Brent's? Brent's is also rooted still.
Is what?
It's also roots too, or the one, right? For the Bible.
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
What belongs to him belongs to her. What belongs to her belongs to him.
There is first Matthew 5:42.
Uh huh.
Says if someone asks you to borrow someone, be willing to do it.
Yeah. I would be more willing to, if I could, just give them.
Well, I think that's basically what it leads to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we have a situation, the reason I ask that is when I bought my last vehicle, I liked a little money having enough to get it.
Uh-huh.
And she was nice enough to let me have it.
Yeah.
And I want one more payment.
He's gonna
get it. You've got to be friends till then, at least.
Yeah.
They had done that for me before we got married, and I had to marry.
Yeah.
I don't like to owe nobody money. It worries me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people we don't bother.
Yeah.
I don't even like to owe money.
Yeah.
I worry about it.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. That might be one of them, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I mean, it's hard to argue with somebody every time you go out to eat, but I know what you mean.
I don't like to argue.
So, I heard. Right. Right. Yeah. Right. That's what we were talking about last night, using a debit card versus a credit card. If there's a more dangerous to use one than the other, you know. So we talked about that last night. Another word that we find in the Bible is the word usury. Usury. And let's see. Proverbs chapter number 28. We'll read a verse over there. But usury is charging excessive interest on money lent. And lots of examples of that in our society. Credit cards. Charge a high interest rate, interest-only loans, rent-to-own, pawn shops, things like that. The word usury is mentioned 18 times in the Bible, and then it's in there other times as usurer. That's one of them, it's hard to say. Or unjust gain, we'll see that in Proverbs chapter 28. The Jews were forbidden by God to practice usury on their brethren. Exodus 22, verse 25, the Lord said, "If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shall thou lay upon him usury." And so it seems to me in the Bible that God told the Jews not to do that to each other, but it's not forbidden when they deal with other nations. And it's interesting that the banks, the major banks in the world, a lot of them are owned and run by the Jewish people. I think Goldman Sachs and Lehman Brothers, and you really get to studying into it. There's a lot of And they're known for how they deal with money. And during World War II, when they started persecuting the Jewish people, a lot of the Jewish people, they had money. And they stole it from them and took it from them. A lot of them had businesses. If you read the book, The Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom, and it talks about how he had dealt in the watches with the Jewish men. And so the Jewish people have always had sort of that reputation of being, how would you say it, savvy with their money. But God said not to do that, that they weren't to do that to each other. To the poor that is by thee. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 8. The Bible says over there, he that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. And I've taught on this before at other times, but how your King James Bible has a built-in dictionary. If you said, well, I don't know what usury is, it's explained in that verse. He that by usury and unjust gain. Usury is unjust gain. It's an excessive amount of interest. And I don't believe, the Bible doesn't say not to charge interest, but excessive interest. And there's a lot of, you know, you read stories, talk to people about that have gotten in over their heads with credit cards, and just got to where they're just making the minimum payment. You never pay that off like that. And the interest, you're just paying interest on things, and you'll never get ahead like that. So the Bible likens that to unjust gain. And I was studying over in Psalms chapter number 15. There's only five verses, and it starts out, and it asks the question, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who's going to be in heaven? And, of course, we realize we don't go to heaven by good works, but there's a list there, and it talks about he that walketh uprightly, righteousness, he that speaketh truth, he that backbiteth not his neighbor, nor doeth evil, and it goes on down and lists several things. And the last verse, it says, he that putteth not out his money to usury. And so taking that boils down to this, taking advantage of somebody in a bad situation. And really, there's a lot. There's a lot of that. Yeah. Yeah. I believe Zacchaeus was guilty. They started studying about Zacchaeus this week. He had took some on the side, owed people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so usury, that's what that is according to the Bible. And it's bad to be involved in it, and it's bad to, it's bad to do it, and it's bad to be on the paying end of it. So the Bible talks about usury, and there's another word, penury. Penury. Penury is extreme poverty, destitution. And a lot of times we kid about being broke, I don't have any money, and stuff like that, but I don't think any of us would qualify as a penury. That is nothing. I got nothing. And it's extreme that way. In Luke chapter number 21 and verses 1 through 4, there's the story over there of the widow. And she came by the treasury and she cast in her two mites. And the rich men, they were coming by and they were putting in of their abundance that they had. You remember, and Jesus said that she gave more than the others. In Luke 21, verse number 4, the Bible said, Jesus said, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. That's all she had. The other people, they were casting in, they had evidently plenty. But that was everything she had. So she was in extreme poverty. So There's surety, usury, and penury. And Proverbs chapter number 14, we'll read a verse over there. And we're going to start from here, and we're going to go back, and we're going to talk about the four R's of money. And we said, first of all, last night we talk about the receiving of money. There's all kinds of ways that we receive money in our life. Does anybody remember a few of them? Do what? Birthdays, gifts. So that's probably the first way most of us ever got any money. Somebody gave us some money. And you got birthdays, and then just somebody give a child a dollar or something like that. What about it? Any other ways? Hard work. What'd you say, John? No, just talking about receiving money right now. Interest. Inheritance. Finding. That's rare, but I have lost some and I have found some. Inherit money. Let's see, I wrote down gift, earn money, find it, win it. If you win money, I don't know what you've been doing, but inherit money, interest on money, retirement. You know, you put some in and that gained interest, you get it back later on. Can anybody think of any other ways you can receive money? That's all I thought and thought about it.
Social Security.
Stock dividends, would that come under interest, sort of? Steal it. I didn't think about that. But this is not a government class. This is a... return. Yeah. So there's all kinds of ways. Of all those ways, though, what's the primary way that we're going to receive money in our life? We're going to work. We're going to have to work. And we're going to have to labor, earn it. I thought about that old commercial. And I was sitting there at my computer and I typed in, what was it? They make money the old-fashioned way. And it's an old commercial. It's a Smith Barney commercial. It came on in 1979. And that fellow sitting there in a real fancy restaurant, I guess, and he starts talking about investments just don't come up and bite you and say, here we are. And he goes on talking about all the hard work at Smith Barney. And he says at the end, he said, they make money the old-fashioned way. They earn it. And that's a primary way you're going to get money in this life is by earning it and by labor, by work. And I wanted to read Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 23. The Bible says this, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. There's that word again. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. So the talk of the lips tendeth to extreme poverty. But in labor there's profit. And there's a contrast between those two options there. There's labor, and the Bible says in all labor there's profit. But then in the talk of the lips it tendeth to penury. That's going to lead to extreme poverty. And Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 24. The Bible said, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. You've got a working and a non. You've got a diligent person, you've got a lazy person. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. You know, we say sometimes the one that's in charge is the one that's got the checkbook. That's biblical. That's what that's saying. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. To be under tribute is another way of saying to be under extreme debt to somebody. And it was used for the prince of one nation to pay tribute in submission to another nation. So they'd been conquered and they were under submission. And part of what they had to do, they had to pay money. They had to pay money to these other nations. That's what it means to be under tribute. And so it's a debt that makes you a servant of another person. But we could talk about this penury in chapter 14, verse number 23. The talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. We know how we're going to receive money. But I think it's good that we would, we need to say some things about how you're not going to get any money. You're not going to get ahead. You're not going to make money in this life. There is all kinds of offers out here. There's all kinds of schemes. There's all kinds of scams. There's all kinds of ideas that really sound good on the surface. But they would come under the heading of a get-rich-quick scheme. Or an easy way. And boy, people are, they are inclined to want, I guess that's just human nature, want to get something for a little bit of nothing. And I mentioned that P.T. Barnum that had the circus, and he evidently had a lot of money in his lifetime, but that book, and I meant to look it up today, I've read it, but he talks about, in the book, he talks about how easy people will fall and will give money to something if they think they can get something for nothing. And but that is not the way. The talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. And there's all kinds of talk of the lips. There's all kinds of get-rich-quick schemes. There's all kinds of advertisements in newspapers and on the internet. And unless you're a lawyer, I guess, you're not going to work 2 hours a week and make $1,000 at it. You know, there's these advertisements. Work from home. Hundreds of people, thousands of people are working at home 2 hours a week and making $1,500. There's no such thing as that. You know, we've all heard that saying, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. It surely is. And no such thing as that. You cannot. I seen an advertisement that it was something like this. It said there are people that are making thousands of dollars posting things on the internet. You know, sitting at home playing on Facebook, messing around. There's no such thing as that. Somebody is making money off of it, but you and I would not make money off of it. There's all kinds of things like that. The talk of the lips. Now, I've known people, and I'm not going to pick on just one thing, but I've known people that were very dedicated to something like Amway. And there's a lot of companies out there. And it basically operates, you know, all you have to do is get three people and get them to sign up, and get them to get three people, and get them to get three people. And you put that on a board, well, that looks pretty easy, you know. I mean, man, after a while, they'll be doing all the work, and you're just getting all the returns and all the... And I've known one person that made money in Amway, and he worked at it harder than a full-time job. And that's the only way you're going to get ahead. If you do something like that, you're going to have to work at it like it's a full-time job. And you're going to have to go and go. But you are nobody is going to get three people to get three people. And you're just going to sit back and rake it in. Life is just not like that. The talk of the lips tendeth to penury. And I knew a fella, he was very dedicated to a business like that. And he went, and he was going all the time. He'd leave work. We used to work together. He'd leave work. He'd say, you need to come. Man, he'd drive off to Hickory and down towards Charlotte, and he was gone all week long going to these meetings. And he'd come in the next day dragging, barely able to go through work. He'd have been a whole lot better to save his gas money. Because in the end, he didn't make nothing. He quit out. So what we're saying, when we're talking about receiving money, and especially young people, I wish our young people, and I hope they'll listen or maybe get to teach them, but that's when I would fall for something like that, is as a young person. Oh, that sounds pretty good. Or somebody older come along trying to get you into it. But there's no getting ahead like that. But in all labor, there's profit. You know, you want to make some extra money? Mow a yard on the side and take the money. You have something. You've made something there. But this pie in the sky stuff and all these scams and all this talk. And a lot of people have a lot of ideas. You know, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But that doesn't put any money on the table. It's just talk. But labor, in all labor, there is profit. And so we talk about the receiving of money and how we're not going to receive. In fact, we're going to lose. So we need to be aware of that. And then we talked about the rule of money. And last night we just talked about tithing. And I mentioned it if I was teaching a child. And I remember in Sunday school, our Sunday school teacher and parents. And, you know, a tithe is if you make a dollar, then a tithe is 10 cents. That's what a tithe is. And there's promises in the Bible. God talks about tithing. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there not be room enough to receive it. And if you don't think you've got more than you need, move. I mean, from your house, pack up everything in your house you've got and try to move to another house. And when you do that, you look around and you say, where'd we get all this stuff? We don't need this stuff. We took stuff from our house in North Carolina, hauled it out to Idaho, put it on a shelf in the box we put it in, and 4 years later, put it back on the truck and brought it back. Never opened the box and looked, well, I threw a lot of it away and Kim don't know about it, but if you have stuff like that, that's how most people are. So we've got all kinds. The Lord is truly opened up the windows and poured us out a blessing that there not be room enough to receive it. But if you go further than that, I said last night, that's kids' stuff. That's very basic. That you would teach a child how to tithe or how to give. But if you go further in the Bible, there's more giving in the Bible than just tithing. Tithing is one thing. For example, in the Old Testament, they gave special offerings to build the tabernacle. They gave special offerings during David's time to build the temple. There were different sacrifices and feasts throughout the year, and sometimes they would give of their fields, and sometimes they'd give of their flocks. So there were special offerings. And sometimes there was a piece of money involved, but there was other offerings other than the tithe. I was reading today, and I've never really noticed this verse, but over in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17, it said, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. That wasn't a tithe. God said, every man according as he is able shall give. The early church, they gave to missions. They gave to get the gospel out. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 deals with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 1 says, now concerning the collection for the saints, As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. That was not their tithe. That was a special offer that was specifically set aside to get the gospel out. And so the early church gave to get the gospel out. And then there's other ways we can look at giving. There's sometimes it's called benevolence giving. And the word benevolence means the disposition to do good, goodwill. The Bible talks about liberality, which it means generosity. Proverbs 11:25 says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." That liberal there is to be a giving person. And then there's the promise in Proverbs, "He that watereth shall be watered also himself." So God says if you give, if you're a liberal person, a benevolent person, if you water, you'll be watered yourself. And so there's the promise of liberality in the Bible. And then there's charity. And that's why charities are called charities. But it's a Bible word, and it's a divine love. It's Christian love. It's greater than the love of the world. And so when we show charity towards someone, we're showing love towards them. Acts chapter 11, verse 29, "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability," and there it is again, according to his ability, "determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea." And so there was a famine in the land of Judah. And the disciples in the early church, they said, "We need to do something to help these brethren." And so all of them, according to their ability, they took up, they sent relief. That was charity. That was benevolence. That was kindness on their part. So we could go on in that and talk about different types of giving, but I think it is suffice it to say that God's people are giving people. You know, I want to be a blessing. And just like Dad was talking about, well, somebody wants to buy you dinner all the time. They probably like you. Or they're being a hypocrite about it, you know. But that's, you know, God puts something in their heart. I want to be a blessing to somebody else. I want to be a help. I know many times as a young preacher, and Kim and I, we'd go around, I'd preach somewhere, and somebody'd take us out and buy our dinner, and that was such a blessing. You know, we was just starting out, and it was rougher then than it is today, but I quit trying to argue with people about that because I figured they wouldn't have offered if they didn't mean it. And they's trying to be a blessing. And later on in life, when I got to where I wanted to be a blessing to somebody and I could take somebody out to eat and pay for it, I didn't want them arguing with me. I done it because I wanted to be a blessing. And so God puts something in our heart. I mean, there's something wrong if we don't want to be a blessing. And one of the ways we be a blessing is through giving to somebody. But we could also say this. You could give away everything you had tonight, and there'd still be needs tomorrow. You know, our giving is not going to alleviate poverty in the world. Our giving is not going to cause there to be a cure found for cancer. You know, it's a good cause, and we all know somebody that's had cancer, but you know, you give and you give and you give. But just because we give doesn't mean it's going to go away. And we could give away everything we had as a church, but the phone's going to ring tomorrow and somebody else is going to need something. So we're never going to, and Jesus said, "The poor you'll always have with you." And I'm not being calloused in saying that, but that's just the way it is. But we all have experienced, I've told Kim if I didn't pastor a church, I would not have a phone in the house because 9 times out of 10 when it rings, it is for nobody. It's not for us. It's not personal. It's not one of you. It's somebody wanting money. You know, it's somebody that has a great cause and they have a great appeal. And was talking to Brother Winfred the other night. You know, a lot of times you want to help people, but you can't help everybody. And so how as Christians do we deal with that? Good causes, organizations. And I'm just going to give you some things that I go by that I believe are based on the Scripture when it comes to all this other giving. First of all, it boils down to what we're talking about. It boils down to stewardship or management of what we do have. And so I've written down about six things here. First of all, for me, is the Lord is first. And under the heading of the Lord, and I preached on this Sunday, Matthew 6:33, the Bible said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So the Lord comes first. And to me, that's what's involved in my giving is tithing and giving to missions. And then we have a special offering. You know, we got a need in the church. That's the majority, the great majority of the giving that Kim and I do. And that comes first. And I've even told people on the phone. I had somebody call one time and they had a good cause. And they're all, you know, you hate to tell anybody no. But they was trying to make me feel bad. I told them no. Don't you want to do this? Well, it makes me seem like a bad guy. But I said, no, not right now. And they begin to rebuke me over it, you know. And I said, look. I said, I do give. I said, I give to my church. And I know where it's going and who's getting it and what we're doing with it. And they went on and said something else. I said, well, let me tell you something else. I said, I'll put my giving for what I believe in up against your giving any day. Do you want to do that right now? What have you give to what you're calling about? Well, that was a little bit fleshly, but I feel good in giving to the Lord's work. And that's the one that gave me what I've got to begin with. And so I want to be a good steward over what the Lord has given me. So that's the way I look at it. The Lord first. Second of all, I look at it like this. I still have responsibilities at home. Like I said, you could give everything you've got away. But you've got a mortgage. You've got groceries. You've got kids needs to go to the dentist. I'm responsible for my family. I am supposed to take care of my family and their needs. And Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." And so I'm to provide for my own. And it was also Paul, I didn't write this verse down, but I think it's in Thessalonians. He said, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Dad asked me about, well, what about people standing beside the road? What about, and that's full-time occupation for some people, evidently. You know, I feel a certain way about that. Now, that's hard. When you've got a 7-year-old in the back seat, and she asks, what are they doing? What's that sign say? You know, what do you say? I said, well, it says the same thing it said last year. It's the same people. And some of them we know, you know, and I'm not being mean, but some people that stands beside the road used to have a job and work in town and you'd see them and now they don't. And what do you do about that? I have been taken, my goodness, and that sort of makes you callous towards a stranger. When we were in Idaho, we had a guy, he was an expert con artist. And he came by the church and he was good at it. He got a lot of money off of us. And he had gotten money other places. And, you know, after a while you find out. But what I would tell people about that is if you feel like the Holy Spirit of God lead you to give somebody some money. I never, hardly ever have given any money since what happened in Idaho, but if God lays on your heart to buy somebody a meal or ask them if you can help them with something, then by all means go ahead. I wouldn't tell anybody not to do that, but I would say this, there's a lot that are scamming. And, you know, it seems cold to say it, but why don't we all just stand out by the road and ask people to give us money? You know, to me, that'd be harder work than going on to work and doing something. I'd hate to stand out there all day long. But the Bible says if a man would not work, neither should he eat. A hungry belly will make you do something if you can. So that's something that is, that's something that touches people's hearts. You know, we hate to see anybody hurting. But if you feel like you ought to help them, help them. And don't worry about it. But I have responsibilities at home, and I want to put the Lord first. But if there is another organization that I might think about giving something to, I want to ask the question, is the organization a good steward of money? If I'm trying to watch and it means something to me, I think they ought to watch. And I don't want to give money to an organization that's paying a CEO or somebody millions of dollars to run a charity or something. And if you give them $20 and 10 of it goes to administration, I think that's too much. Is the money you're giving going for what you want it to go for? And there's ways to find that out. There's a few websites and things, but breaks down, and I can't think of one. Does anybody know the name of one?
It's the Evangelical, I think it's EFCA, the Event, it's an Evangelical Watchdog that basically looks after charities.
Right.
And you have to report everything that you do.
Yeah. Yeah, but if I give money, I want to know that it's going where I want it to go. And so that's another thing that I look at. Number four, does what they're wanting, does their appeal line up with my biblical beliefs or my moral beliefs? You know, there's all kinds of pulling on the heartstrings. But there's just some things I'm not going to give to because they don't line up with the Bible. You know, I'm not going to give to Greenpeace because I don't believe everything Al Gore says. I'm not going to give to PETA. You know, I like puppies and kitties, but they don't think a thing, a lot of them, about aborting a child. But they burn down a building to save a puppy. You know, if I'm going to give money to something, it's got to be something that I'm in agreement with. I went to graduation a few weeks ago. And over in Rome Mountain, they let the Shriners get out in the middle of the road. And, you know, you stop and buy a paper. And, you know, I went on by. I know they do a good work, and I know they help children, but I cannot jive with the organization. I went on by. I didn't feel bad about it. A lot of people were stopping and giving them money, and then we come back, and there's a church out there stopping. They'll wash your car. And I want to say, if you people had tithe, you wouldn't have to stand out by the road like a bunch of beggars. They'd give you some money and let you go on your trip. I didn't do that, but I think that God's people shouldn't ask the world to fund them, to pay for them, to whatever they want to do. But I thought that was sort of a bad testimony for a church to be doing that. So it's got to line up with my moral beliefs. And number five, is it something I feel strongly about? Now, I'm involved with a few organizations, not anything major, but for example, one helps veterans. Well, I'm a veteran, and that appeals to me. I think that's a good thing. I think the Ronald McDonald House is a good thing. I've had to stay in a Ronald McDonald House. I think it'd be better to drive through the drive-thru and put your money in the box and leave the food in the restaurant, though. But it's a good thing. You know, that helped us. St. Jude's. You know, there's some work. There's a lot of good causes. And so, but do you feel strongly enough about it? The worst thing in the world is to give money to something that you actually needed, and then after it's done, you wished you hadn't done it because you don't even think that it was put to a good use or went to where you wanted it to go. So I've got to have some strong feelings about it. Hospice is a great thing. It's not it's not out of the church, but hospice is a good ministry. And a lot of people have been helped by hospice coming in. So there's some good things. And if it comes right down to it, and I've got to close, I'll ask myself, do I get anything? I did something a while back, and I got a T-shirt out of it. But to me, it's worth the T-shirt. No, it wasn't a credit card. It's a little competition. Or, you know, a charity golf tournament. I look at it, and I hadn't done it in years, but I got to play a round of golf. So I gave to something, helped somebody out. I got a little something out of it. That'd be the bottom one as far as the rule of money. How do you decide who I'm going to give, what I'm going to give? All right, I appreciate your good attention, and I hear them coming up the steps.